two verses, that is 1 to 19 and 1 to 20, and they also are very interesting. Gopapal is just getting the Srimad Bhagavatam in one volume. It is there, in other words. Good. So, before starting to lecture, before the Bhagavatam comes on, I wanted to speak a little bit on Srimati Radharani, since we are on her on the place where her parents, Ketita and Shabanu, have erected a palace. Srimati Radharani actually appeared at Raval, a place which we will see further, she lived here, and I have heard that she, although she is married in Yavat, she often comes. Her brother Sridham comes with horses and takes her from Yavat to Vashana, and you will be very glad to hear, according to her schedule, she's just now in Vashana. She's here with us. She has left Yavat to visit her parents and is here. So, the Bhagavatam has come at the same time. How to do this? I really thought it is good if we can hear a little bit about her glories. I want to read to you from the New Back to Godhead. There is a lecture by Srila Prabhupada on Srimati Radharani's glories, and they are very, very nice. Let us start. So today, we pray to Radharani because she is a pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. But Radharani is so great that she attracts Krishna. So what is the position of Srimati Radharani? We should try to understand this today and offer our obeisances to Radharani. Tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu suti devi pranamami hari priye. Radharani, you are so dear to Krishna, so we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Radharani is Hari Priya, very dear to Krishna. Through the mercy of Radharani, we can easily approach Krishna. If Radharani recommends, this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts me, however great a fool I may be. Because I am recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts me. Therefore, in Vrindavan, you will find all the devotees chanting Radharani's name more than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you will find the devotees greeting one another, Jai Radhe. You will find this still in Vrindavan. You might have been surprised. Sometimes you greet the pilgrims or the Brijbasis with Hare Krishna, and they respond to you saying, Jai Radhe. So you think, is there something wrong with me? Was this wrong to say Hare Krishna? Sometimes this is a feeling, at least I have this feeling, because whenever I say Hare Krishna, they go like, Jai Radhe. And Prabhupada gives the reason here that Srimati Radharani is addressed first because if she recommends someone, Krishna will accept him. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and if you are a great fool, he might not be very enthusiastic to accept you. Of course, we hear he is Dina Bandhu, he is very merciful to the fawn. But Prabhupada makes the point, Srimati Radharani is always very, very merciful. the mercy of Radharani, we can easily approach Krishna. Radharani recommends, this devotee is very nice, and Krishna immediately accepts me, however great a fool I may be. So this is why the devotees always chant Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, when they greet each other. Radharani is more merciful than Krishna, even because she is the merciful or compassionate nature of Krishna. We have a seminar, but I just wanted to read this because we are here at Srimati Radharani's place, and it might help us to take shelter in Vashana and through the mercy of Radha get quicker access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you do want to read this whole article, which is very interesting, Srimati Radharani, the attractor of Krishna in this No Back to Godhead, which I think must be available by now when you return to Krishna Balaram Mandir. Okay, so...
this morning we had a short Prabhupada lecture.
Yes?
That same lecture.
Oh, you had the same lecture this morning? How nicely it was chosen. Very good. Very good. So, let us now please continue. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading First Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 19 and 20. Tada rajos tamo bhava kama lobadayas chaye chetaye teranavidam stitam sadhe prasidate. As soon as I would like to just brief you again up so that it's easier for you to listen. We heard so far that we have to cut a knot in our heart which binds the eternal soul to this temporary material body. This knot is false ego, and it can be done by hearing Krishna Katha. Why? How does this work? Well, if Krishna Katha is heard in an attentive way, Krishna himself will enter our heart and remove the anantas, which are deeply rooted. Now, it was said that this process is accelerated, it goes faster, if we take full shelter in the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada has explained that this means we have to take shelter in Tadiyanam, in that which is related to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I would like to add to yesterday's discussion, has given also 5 Tadiyanams, which will work in this Kali Yuga. It is said these are the most important factors. Krishna Nama, the holy name of Krishna, Krishna Nama, Bhagavat, it starts like this. Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees. Krishna Nama, the holy name of Krishna. Bhagavat Smaran, the remembrance of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Murti Seva, or Bhagavat Seva, the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his deity form. And finally, Mathura Vasi, living in the holy dham. We are now walking through the holy dham, so this is very, very favorable to root out the rest of anattas. In other words, hearing about Krishna starts the process, but then accepting the sadhu sangha and accepting the pure devotee, and then starting to do these five angas of devotional service, that will bring it to a clear end. Now today, we will hear a test. When you are diseased, you can put a paper in your, it's actually not so pleasant, in your bodily fluid, and when you take the paper out, the urine test, you can find out, do I have this very dangerous disease or not? You find out by the way it colors. So today, we will hear about a check and test method for everyone which you can apply in your private life and find out how far this process has worked in you. It will be a little shocking to hear this lecture because you might find out that there are still a few anattas in your heart, but don't despair. You will easily be able to overcome these anattas without any problem. So, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passionate ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. I wanted to just explain how important a test is and then go to the, by telling you a story which I found very, very nice. Once there was a cat who became old. And this cat took to the profession of a yogi. He sat at the bank of the Ganga in the Padma Asam and was fasting. After 3 days of watching him from the distance, the mice got faith in him and came close and asked him, "What has happened to you?" "Oh," said the cat, "I had a change in heart. I'm a yogi now. I don't eat meat. I do not have illicit sex. I follow all the four rules and regulations and speak about Bhagavatam." And he started Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This went on for a few days until some mice became attracted to the cat and wanted to have private audiences. The cat agreed to this and life went on in the mice. So there was one particular intelligent cat, mouse, and he watched that the mice population diminished. And that mouse thought, "Oh, I'm not sure if the cat has become renounced and doesn't eat mice any longer. Maybe this cat is a cheater." So he decided to find this out. And he came one evening when the cat gave a darshan to two female mice devotees and hid behind the bushes. So the little mice came and said, "Here, please take grains. And please explain us, how can we pure our heart of lusty desires?" The eyes became bigger and bigger. And he said, "Don't talk this foolish philosophy," and jumped on the little mice and killed them both. So this is what the mice, which was hiding, saw. And he went to all the mice and said, "Our guru cat is a cheater. Let's chase, let is not no longer by this deception that he has become renounced, and from that day the old cat remained without food. See, he has just taken to the dress of a devotee in order to fulfill his own motivation. He had become too old to hunt mice on his own strength, and therefore became a cheetah for easy maintenance. So when joining the devotee or becoming Krishna consciousness, we must, this is Raghunath Das Goswami's instruction, we must be aware of the cheating mentality. You have heard this, that the conditioned soul has the mentality to cheat. All too often we might cheat ourselves and also others if we do not apply this acid test, which we will hear today, and see if our heart is really free from the tendencies to enjoy and control. So I want to read to you the second verse, because we will do the two in one. Please repeat after me. It's about the tester. Evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tatva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly, men are conducted by the modes of passionate ignorance, and thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankering, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such men like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. Next time you feel a desire, or next time you feel distressed, find out if this is the desire of the soul or the desire of the body. When it's the desire of the body, you have nothing to do with it. You just ignore it. When you are distressed, find out if it is distress of the mind or of the soul. If it's just the mind, you have nothing to do with it. Oh, Sisi Gaura Nital Guru Sundarji. Yes. So, and as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passionate ignorance, or, in other words, when one is actually a Brahmana by qualification. A Brahmana is the symbol of Sattva-gun, or the mode of goodness, and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, or less than the Shudras. The Brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a brahmana. The devotee is already a brahmana by action, but that is not the end of the story of it. As referred to above, such a brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, in fact. To be actually on the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul, because although in the brahminical stage the conception of brahman or transcendence is realized scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is a subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men or men with a poor fund of knowledge do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a brahmana. When a qualified brahmana actually becomes a Vaishnava in the enlightened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead.
So, one moment. I'm actually very, very sorry, but the mosquitoes just kill me alive, and Gogopal can't jump to any of this. The mosquitoes just wasn't this thing so much. Hier nimmst du den selber, aber ich bin sehr enttäuscht. Das war das für mich. I guess this firm could make an advertisement spot of this, you know. This scene. So, dear Prabhus, let us summarize. Prabhupada, these two verses, as we said, are describing a test to us. When somebody has attained advancement in Krishna consciousness, the result will be that he is above the lower two modes of ignorance. Ignorance means karma. You have some very gross material desires, and you tend to be inactive and sleepy. And the other lower mode is passion. Prabhupada says loba, that is, you become very active for your sense enjoyment. These two lower modes constantly pinch the heart of the conditioned soul and rule us in our lives. Prabhupada once said, you can make a test. If we cannot rise early in the morning, that means we are under the clutches of Maya. This is the test. That means mode of ignorance, which dictates sleep, is ruling. Or if you have constantly desires for sense enjoyment, for the opposite sex, or for nice food or nice clothing, that means passion. The mode of passion is there in the heart and dragging you to this. Let us just make this a little bit more understandable by bringing a typical Western person here into Vasana. He rises at 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I have to go to the university to make my studies. Oh, I'm already late. After I have done my studies, I hopefully will meet Mary and eat something with her in the restaurant, and then we might spend a night together. So he doesn't rush, he has no time, he jumps into his car and drives to the university. He puts in the radio on the way, and he finds out, oh, the Serbians have just now taken a big chunk of Bosnia-Herzegovina. These chaps, I would kill them all, he says. So while he is saying this, a car drives before his own car. He has to put on the brakes. I could kill this foolish car, this driver before me. So by the time he gets to the university, he has been solidly based in the mode of ignorance and passion. He has slept too long, he didn't wash, that's the mode of ignorance. He is angry on others, that's the mode of passion. He hopes to enjoy sense gratification with his girlfriend in the evening, that's again passion mixed with ignorance. In this way, the ordinary conditioned soul, at least in the Western world, is constantly dragged by the modes of passion and ignorance. I just wanted to give a prototype of a person. Usually I do it much longer, and then it becomes more understandable, but in Vajrayana, that somehow doesn't feel right to get into this. So scriptures, since time immemorial, have given two processes to become free from the dictation of the modes of lower modes of nature. Tapasya, you should perform tapasya in the form of mind control and sense control. You should be charitable and so on. This is one type of process. And the other type of process is you should chant the holy name, listen about Krishna, and serve devotees. Following renunciation guidelines, following mind control, sense control, unfortunately, does not work always in the Kali Yuga. Prabhupada has said, these are like rules for driving in the fog. When you drive in the fog, there are certain special rules for ships and for cars also, but still there are a lot of accidents. So, if you are in the fog of Kali Yuga, and you try to control your mind and your senses in order to avoid passion and ignorance, these are just like rules in the fog. They don't always work. But chanting the holy name and following the other processes of Krishna consciousness, they are like the sunrise, Prabhupada said. When the sun rises in the morning, the fog disappears and there are no longer actual needs for this samena damena, for this mind and sense control. In other words, someone who is in Krishna consciousness is automatically a vegetarian, is automatically celibate, is automatically in control of his mind and senses. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very clearly given the formula that in this age of Kali, these processes which were utilized in other ages of Yam and Niyam, these rules of sense and mind control, they don't work, but the chanting of the holy name, that works very much. This is once the lower modes are gone, a person becomes situated in the mode of goodness and has a certain effect in his name, in his life. People in this wonder why they are not happy. They try so many things, TV and cars and so many sense enjoyments. The thing is, they cannot be happy if they are in the modes of passion and ignorance. Ignorance leads to depression and sadness, and the mode of passion leads to intense longings and also distress. In German, the translation for passion is Leidenschaft. Leiden means suffering, and schaffen means to create. The mode of passion, in other words, that's the only good word in German, creates suffering. But the Germans are not free from the mode of passion, although it's in their word that it only creates suffering. That is so because it requires a little goodness to understand knowledge and to become happy. So if you do not have the mode of goodness, you cannot understand knowledge, you cannot hold knowledge, you may intellectually understand something, but you cannot keep it for a long time, and you can also not be happy. But also the mode of goodness has to be transcended. Now I want to be a little bit more practical because I see I have only about 30% of my audience. Do you know that the modes of nature also act in devotional service? I will give you the prototype of these modes in the devotional service. When you are in the mode of ignorance, you actually think you're the only good devotee. And everyone has to just wake up to the fact that you are super. When you are in the mode of passion, you do not show your desire for, let me say, your ignorance so strongly. But what you always want is that others praise you. Oh, you have done so well. You have organized this so good. Oh, if I just think of a shadow of your book distribution results, I faint in ecstasy. In other words, always craving for recognition. Now, if you are in the mode of goodness, you actually only want your peace. All these three, and you want to be liberated from suffering. That's all what you really care about. You, in other words, are not Krishna-centered, but self-centered. All these three devotee types who are influenced by the different modes have been described in Bhagavad philosophy as bina drik. Bina means separated, and drik means vision. They have a separated vision of the interest of the Lord. The devotee in the mode of ignorance cannot get along with anyone because he is so self-conceited about himself. The passionate devotee can well manage to live in the association of devotees because also he gets praise from there. The mode of goodness devotee, he always wants peace, 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 shanti, shanti, shanti. And he might sometimes leave an organization like ours where there is so much intense activity going on. Mostly the ignorance, mode of ignorant devotees are leaving though. So, anyways, Prabhupada has said that to practice Krishna consciousness, we have to ultimately come on the platform of Vishuddha Sattva. This is a purified goodness, pure, or purified from the effects of ignorance, passion, and goodness, material goodness. This state, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaptitam, it said, is a stage then you are no more attached by Maya, and there you are directly attracting the Supreme Personality of Godhead with your service. It's a wonderful stage, the state of Krishna consciousness, where you are even able to participate or to have a glimpse in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On this state of consciousness, revelation of Krishna takes place. And to end our discussion today, I would like to give an example of Srinivas Acharya, for a great devotee who is on the transcendental level. Srinivas Acharya went often on the superior states of Krishna consciousness. One time, in his meditation, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave him a garland of champaka flowers around his neck. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned that garland, and when Srinivas Acharya was coming out of his meditation, he had the champaka garland around his neck, which smelled extremely wonderful. In other words, you can see here how the transcendental reality becomes manifested to such an advanced devotee. Another example, or another thing from his life, is that once Srinivas Acharya in the town Vishnupur was entering into deep meditation. His disciple Biyahambiyam waited for 3 days for any sign of life, but his spiritual master Srinivas Acharya seemed to be gone. So they got a very advanced devotee who knew also about the highly advanced techniques of Krishna consciousness, and who had realized his transcendental identity. And this devotee, I believe Ramchandra. Yes, Ramchandra Kaviraj was his name, entered the same stage of consciousness, Vishuddha Sattva, and in his spiritually perfect body went into the pastime of Radha and Krishna, which was taking place at that time. So there, in that pastime, so the pastime was like this: Radha and Krishna were entering into the Yamuna for water sports. And there, Krishna engaged in wild water splashing with Radha. And Krishna was splashing so wildly that the nose ring of Radharani was becoming loosened and fell in the water. So Radha told one of her sakis, who told Mani Manjari, please get my nose ring if my elders see that I am coming home without a nose ring, they might ask unpleasant questions. So Mani Manjari, and that was when Tuluk and Ramachandra Kaviraj, he saw that Mani Manjari was looking. Now Ramachandra knew that Srinivas Acharya had his eternal identity as that self-same Mani Manjari. And he came to that little cowherd girl and said, "Hey, Mani Manjari, you are Srinivas Acharya. Your disciples are waiting on the earth, the planet. They don't know what happened to you. Can you please return?" "No," said the girl, "I have to find the nose ring. This is my service now." So she, Ramachandra said, "Can I help you?" "Yes, you can." So they looked and they found, Ramachandra actually was successful in locating that nose ring, which had fallen to a lotus flower and, you know, was happened when the leaf comes, in this area it was. So they found it and they went out of the Yamuna, and then they saw how Radhika was just ready, being dressed, and how only the nose ring was missing. And Mani Manjari ran there, happily smiling, and said to Radharani, "Here it is." Radharani was so pleased that she gave a little of the betel nut into Mani Manjari's mouth, which had been chewed by Krishna. And Mani Manjari was totally in ecstasy and gave that also to Ramachandra Kaviraj. So meanwhile, all this was going on the earth, the disciples of Srinivasacharya were getting more and more anxious. When is he going to return? Is he already in samadhi? Has he left the body? Has he left us? Will we get any further instruction from him? So many questions. And then all of a sudden, they saw how both Srinivasacharya and Ramachandra, who were just sitting there unmoved, opened their eyes and then their mouth, and both of their mouths were reddish from chewing betel nut. So here is another proof or example what happens when a devotee becomes fixed on that highly elevated state of Krishna consciousness. The reason why I'm telling this to all of you this evening is to tell you of the coming attractions. Stay with the process of Krishna consciousness, and you will one day be hopefully able, by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, to develop the state of Vishuddha Sattva, of pure devotional service, where one can participate in the pastimes of Krishna. Our movement for Krishna consciousness is actually meant to bring us to this platform where we can associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to finish with quoting a letter from Srila Prabhupada, which was sent to us devotees in the German BBT. We had just finished the Krishna cookbook and had sent it to Prabhupada. You know, there's this round of Krishna's friends, and they are sitting, Krishna is in the middle, and Krishna gives them prasad, and they give prasad to Krishna. Prabhupada was so happy to see this Hare Krishna cookbook that he wrote to us back, "Thank you for printing this nice picture. Our goal is to one day sit also amongst Krishna's cowherd boys and then eat prasadam with Krishna." He said so. But then he said, only after accumulating heaps and heaps of sukriti, or this is transcendentally pious activities, these boys were able to come to this state in life. So let us become free from the effect of the lower modes by cultivating Krishna consciousness. When these lower modes disappear from the heart, slowly we will come to the mode of goodness and jump and then go to the transcendental mode of goodness, the Vasudev Sattva state, where there is direct revelation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the meantime, we should apply from time to time the test which has been given here. That is, we should see how much we are free from the lower modes. If you are full of sleepy nature, if you are full of anxieties, that means ignorance and passion still have you, and you must be a little bit more attentive to the practice of Krishna consciousness in order to overcome these modes. Thank you very, very much. I want to end here. I'm sorry
we started a little late, and we also ended a little late, and I do not know if I could bring the subject in a way, or present the subject in a way which is both practical and interesting for you. I don't feel so sure about this lecture today, and I want to excuse myself if I have not presented it interestingly enough, but I really feel as a person very strongly about this, not presented it interestingly enough, but I really feel as a person very strongly about this point that you please take to heart. Tomorrow we will have the end of our seminar. We will talk in a very practical way. So, do you have at this stage any question to what was said so far? Yes, I see one hand in the back. Please, Prabhu, identify yourself. What is your, we can't see you. No, it's a dark. Aha. Just tell us your name.
Now?
Yeah, now I can see you, but the name is still not there. Bhakta Das. Bhakta Avatar Das. Oh. Yes, please.
You were explaining about three modes in devotional service.
Yes.
Especially a devotee in the mode of ignorance, how he can think that he is the only devotee. Something like that?
Yes.
So, this mode.
That he's the best devotee.
Yeah, he's the best devotee.
And he becomes angry with all others. He cannot really live together with others.
Oh, I see.
He is in the ashram, and he thinks no one understands me and my needs. I'm a unique person. I can't live with these people. Have you seen there are these bhaktas who just, it's impossible when you put them in the association with devotees. They suffer, the devotees suffer, because they are so much covered. Yes?
I think you pretty much explained.
I explained, yeah. You can read about this in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. It's very, very interesting to study. There are three texts, and I have taken what is in these texts. It's stated there, not so, I've made it a little more clear, it says, he is very proud. You will see, one, there was a question which is related to this, the other day on Padayatra, a devotee asked, how does it come that those who are really advanced always see themselves as very fallen? Do they actually see like this, or is it just that they want to teach us a lesson? And the answer is, and how is it that those who are not so advanced seem to feel quite comfortable with themselves? Why is this so? I heard once a very nice answer from one of our senior devotees, who said like this, if you stand before a big building, like for instance the temple of Sriji here in Varshana, you naturally will feel yourself and see yourself as being very insignificant and small. However, if you stand before a very small building, let us say a simple grass hut, you see yourself as very big, a big man, bigger even than the roof of the house. So if your understanding of Krishna is very big, you have a very large understanding. You will see Krishna's wonderful qualities, and in relation to that, you'll feel very insignificant. However, if your understanding and realization of Sri Krishna's glory is very small, you will, in relation to that, think yourself as being quite large or big. This is an explanation. You sometimes might ask yourself, how is it that these young devotees, you know, they are so... Isn't it? I have noticed, I mean, if you are not a Maharaj, some of our Indian bhaktas, they just walk across your face back and forth. Even if you are a Maharaj, but you don't have a danda with you, they just boom, 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 and you have no chance, you know. You think, Sometimes, it's also with the German bhakta, I mean, it's not just there. I'm sorry to say, but I've always realized that when I was a brahmachari, I mean, they were stepping over me left and right, and you know, only when the danda stick is visible, then you have some chance to survive.
Maharaj, I've got a question about yesterday's verse.
Yes.
It's saying in that verse that by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed.
Yes.
Why does it say almost completely destroyed?
Okay, I will repeat your question. In yesterday's verse, it says, by regular attendances in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And the question is, why is it not totally destroyed? There is a sophisticated answer and a practical answer. And I want to give the sophisticated answer first and the practical answer second. In Madhurya Kadambini, it is described how there are different stages of destruction of anarthas. And there is a difference between completely or purna destroyed and just vanquished or so. I do not know the exact termina now. So, you might ask yourself the question, what remains inside? If you want this technical answer, I'm very sorry. I'm just not in the mood right now to remember all of this. It is extremely technical. What types of anattas are completely annihilated? At which state of bhava or prema and so on? But I want to be very practical today. When it says almost completely destroyed, it means there is still a little taste of sin there. Prabhupada made it very clear in a letter to Kirtanananda Swami. Once Kirtanananda Swami came to Srila Prabhupada and said, he had taken sannyas at that time, I think, Prabhupada, I'm now finally free from the desire for sex life. Ah, I feel so relieved. I really think I've made it. Then Prabhupada said, you should be very careful in saying this. You should never be so sure. These anattas, in other words, are still there or remain there in a subtle form. Let us, for instance, speak of sex. I mean, let us... Don't be shocked. I don't have the nerve, nor do I want to get into this subject at depth or length. But it is a desire which is very, very strong because it epitomizes the strongest material pleasure. We are here in this material world to enjoy this pleasure to the extent, to the fullest extent, our bodies are made for this, or have this inclination in the genetic codex, so to say. It is programmed like this. So, the whole material energy, so to say, which covers us, is female, it's Prakriti. We, the soul, are there being constantly allured by these forms of material energy. So even if a devotee, by taking on the renounced life as either grihastha or brahmachari or sannyasi, manages to refrain from gross involvement, still he will find that these material pleasures are so, or that the addiction is so very, very strong. Even if sex desires go away in their gross form, they appear before you like a ghost. The ghost of the body of sex is the desire for recognition, the desire to be celebrated as a well-known or famous devotee. It's a very, very strong, this thing. As long as you are addicted, have this, as long as you are haunted by this subtle ghost of sex, you can rest assured the gross body will also be around the corner. Yes. So, this almost, I have been told, refers that this sex desires still remain within the heart. Therefore, it is described that we must be very careful in listening to higher topics, also of listening to the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because when we hear them, we might be remembered or reminded of the activities and attractions between boy and girl in this world, and there might be in our laughter, a joyous laughter, there might be a mixture of frivolity included, and then it becomes all very cheap. We are always warned to be careful not to... At the same time though, it is described in Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada brings this out in his Krishna book commentary, that we have to hear about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. We cannot boycott topics of the gopis, because by hearing just how nice Krishna is, how personal he is, how compassionate and how absolutely selfless this love is, where each of the others wants to only satisfy the other. By this we get an understanding what love means and become attracted to the kingdom of love. So a warning is spoken, but at the same time a recommendation is there. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, I feel we should maybe end here. Thank you all very much for coming. I just wanted to end with a personal note. I feel very glad that the Vaishnavas are just so merciful to listen, and I feel very thankful to Bhadra Prabhu that he gives me a chance, because for a lecturer in the Western world who only is there in the Western world in towns and so on, it's a great, that's the theater up there, it's a, such a great pleasure to be able to preach on these same things, but in the Holy Dham, it's just one feels as if Radharani gives and Krishna gives. Okay, continue like this. Huh? So thank you. Thank both of you, both the audience and the organizers very much. We will end here now because we do have an interesting evening program. Please forgive me that I'm not able to participate because, I mean, I'm really struggling to keep up my vrata, it's called in Sanskrit. I really have to get to this now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sriti Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.